Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
What is the Bible? Who wrote the Bible?
The church will continue to be even more irrelevant when it quotes letters from 2,000 years ago.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, is where our trouble began.
This sounds to me like the voice of someone who really has an appalling ignorance of what the Bible says about itself and what Jesus said about it.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh, man. I'm having some memories. The live version back when they could sing.
Memories pressed between the pages of my mind.
Oh, man, do I wish I could do that. This is Wretched Radio.
Memories sweetened through the ages just like wine.
Don't worry, Jimmy, I'm fine in here. Don't ask about my health. I'm fine. Did I mention this is Wretched Radio? Really, Jimmy?
Hey, Todd.
What's up, Jimmy?
How's your health? How's your... Didn't you go to the doctor recently?
Well, as a matter of fact, thanks for bringing it up. After I sat in here and whimpered that you didn't ask how it went. Because guys don't do that. I know, for instance, you've got a new driver. That's all I know about you. To ask questions about personal things, it's not typically what we do. And there's a line, isn't there? I know there's a line where men can share things with other men to a point. Because there's a line that you cross where it turns into, hey, I could use some input on this. Would love to get your response to this. Then the line becomes whinging. And I don't want to cross that line. So thank you for asking. It turns out that it is not postnasal drip. It is not allergies that is my malady. Instead, wasn't thrilled, but it wasn't the worst thing in the world. It's called silent GERD. That's right, silent GERD. It makes it sound more ominous, doesn't it?
It does.
It's a silent malady. It's reflux is what it is.
Yeah.
And so the doc, because it was my throat was just like on fire. And so the doctor said, I think you got yourself some reflux. I took a thing last night. I don't want to get all medical on you, but it was a thing with the deal. And I took it and it's already helping. Not totally yet, but I'm just telling you, it's helping. I know you noticed that. thanks for asking, Jimmy.
I'm glad you're so.
Yep. Oh, what are my memories now that I'm done whinging? He could sing, couldn't he?
Holding hands and red bouquets and twilight's trimmed in purple haze and laughing eyes and subtle ways and quiet nights and gentle days with you.
No monitors. That's astounding. You know why God didn't give me that gift? Friel, enough about you. It's because I couldn't handle it. God doesn't give you what you can't handle. And that would be one of those things, because even with GERD, I would be singing this program right now so that you could hear how wonderful my voice is. So God just spared me having to deal with that particular temptation. He just made me flat as a pancake, man. I've been having some memories because made a video and I'm kind of torn about the YouTube video that we just made, because it's an idea. I should have sought some wisdom on it before I started. So the idea is there's a number of individuals who have been stellar, godly leaders for decades. And it seems to me, after the deaths of Odie Bauckham and John MacArthur, where we just feel a loss and then desire to eulogize them, rightly so, I thought to myself, self, why do we wait until people are dead to say good things about them? And so I started a series of eulogies for guys who are still alive. I sure hope they appreciate the sentiment because I wasn't inferring anything like death is imminent for them. I just thought, why aren't we saying good things about one another while they can actually hear them and be encouraged by them? Not to get puffed up, but to just encourage them and to celebrate God's work in their life while they're living. We'll see how that turns out. I'll have to maybe ask permission of each one of them. But in the process of doing that video, I went and grabbed, look at this beastie, Jimmy. It's wrapped in, it's probably fake leather because I don't think I spent that much on it. It's got strings coming out of it. It was really my first Bible when I got saved. And I remember when I got saved, man, I did it again. Man, I just had to be in this book. So this Bible, along with the MacArthur Study Bible, I think it was, this one right here, that's all ratchety. It was a MacArthur Study Bible. I think it was New King James Version. And I would read this bad boy that's wrapped in faux leather because it's the NLT version. That's right. It's a functional equivalent. It's not as literal, but it was so helpful. And I'd read both. I'd read it here, there, and go, okay, I'm kind of getting the gist of that. I'd read the MacArthur footnote, and then I would take that information, if I felt so inclined, and I would write it into my NLT Bible. So this is the Bible that I have that the kids might actually want when I'm dead. And I don't anticipate any eulogies, frankly, because this is the one that just is loaded with notes. But more than that, in the front of the Bible, there is a stack of stuff. And when I opened it up, I went, oh, I know why this is in here. It's because I was using it all the time. So for instance, this is an envelope from probably 20 years ago. It has objections. All roads lead to God. I'm a good person. And then I've got Al Capone. I don't know why Al. I know why. It's because Al Capone, he thought he was contributing well to society. Of course, with time and history, we look back and go, no, you weren't. You were getting people drunk and killed, but you weren't a good person. And then I've got Who Made God? Hell is unreasonable. God can't forgive me. That actually is an objection for some. Now, it typically isn't a hostile objection, but it is an objection. They just feel too dirty. And that is why we need to proclaim, oh, God is so excellent at cleaning up dirty people. That's just, if you had to say, does God have a specialty? That would be it. He cleans up dirty people. In fact, the dirtier, the better. Why? Because it would be like any situation. If let's just say it's somebody who cleans homes and it's they're going to be judged for their cleaning. The judges would want to know what it looked like before they started cleaning. And if they discovered it was like a tornado went through the place, it was a dump and now it's pristine. They'd go, now that's, wow, that's some good work. You go into a house that's basically maintained, pretty clean, needs some straighten up. Maybe the toilets need cleaning as they tend to anyway. It's good. Yeah, that was good. But the one who turned the trash into a treasure, now that is great cleaning work. And that's the same thing with God. He specializes in taking the worst of the worst and making them more like his son, which is the best. Another objection on, because this, I use this for open air preaching, I'm pretty sure, or I would look at it before doing open air preaching, because I'd kind of memorize this list and use it during open air preaching. I like my sin. I've tried Christianity. The Bible has mistakes. What about all the different translations? And then, of course, there are hypocrites, which, unfortunately, there actually are. And that needs to be addressed because it is fair for somebody to look at a follower of a particular religion / deity and ask, okay, what does this deity do for that person? Does it change that person? I think that's our natural expectation. What's the point of your religion if it doesn't make a difference in your life? And so when they see something that isn't congruent with the confession, I think that they can go, huh, that ain't right. And I would agree with it. It ain't right, but that does not disprove the existence of the deity. That's something, by the way, talked about pretty laboriously at Oklahoma State in Oklahoma University, that syllogisms have got to be thoughtful, because it is my contention, this is what I shared at the campuses, that the deconstruction movement is based mostly on bad syllogisms. So, for instance, I think I used the example, I hate revolving doors. Just hate them, scared of them. They're terrible. They're awful. People been stuck in them and died and stuff. Hate those revolving doors. The Empire State Building has revolving doors. Therefore, the Empire State Building doesn't exist. You'd say, wait a second, that doesn't make sense. Right, because I've drawn a wrong conclusion because I have baked a bad syllogism. And the same thing is true with hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is, I just don't like it. There are Christians who are hypocrites. Therefore, Jesus doesn't exist. Do you see how that doesn't flow? And so pointing that out, I persistently do not judge the object of the faith based on some of the behavior of some of the followers. That is unreasonable any more than, for instance, hey, Jimmy?
Yeah.
Do you have any friends that have done anything bad?
Yeah.
You don't exist. That's a bad syllogism. We will continue. Is anybody there? Is anybody going down my memory lane? Next on Wretched Radio.
Hey, can I be honest with you for a second? I see a lot of guys just drifting, just going through the motions, working, hanging out, maybe going to church, but not really sure what they're supposed to be doing with their lives. And here's what's crazy. Nobody's giving you real answers. It's just a bunch of cliches about being a man that don't actually help. But I found something that does help. Dr. Adam Tyson has hosted a Fortis Forum, 5 steps to becoming a man after God's own heart. And it is not what you think. Dr. Tyson does not just tell you to do better. He shows you what the Bible actually says about manhood. Real steps you can take, real changes that start in your heart, not just your behavior. That's what we need. Look, if you're tired of drifting and you want some actual direction, this is it. 5 steps that will challenge you to live with real purpose. It's on Fortis Plus. You can watch it whenever you want. Just go check it out right now. 5 steps to becoming a man after God's own heart. Just download Fortis Plus wherever you download your apps or go to fortisplus.org. Trust me, it's time to stop drifting and time to start living.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? The hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you actually felt something without fear, without shame, without immediately wanting to numb it? If you're living on autopilot, you're not alone. Millions are told the same thing. It's just a chemical imbalance. Hey, take this, you'll be fine. But you're not fine. You're numb. Here's the truth the world doesn't tell you. Your emotions, they're not the enemy. But they also shouldn't be your master either. Dr. Greg Gifford gets that, and his new series, Life Without the Numb, is available right now at fortisplus.org. It's a free 10-week series that shows how God's Word speaks into anxiety, depression, and emotional chaos, and it does so with clarity you've never heard before. New episodes every Monday, absolutely free at fortisplus.org. This isn't about ignoring struggles. It's about transformation from the inside out. Life Without the Numb. Watch at fortisplus.org. Stop surviving and start living.
Books of the Bible. Acts is a second volume of the Gospel according to Luke. It begins with the ascension of Christ and covers the first 30 years of the early church. Acts is about the sovereignty of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, and the preaching of the word as early Christians seek to spread the gospel from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
No, I don't have to, but I'm gonna.
Press between the pages of my mind.
I'm thinking of Scylla right now because I'm gonna divorce her in about 2 years.
Memories.
Oh, we ain't had Lisa Marie yet.
Just like wine.
Now, there's a family that really, really, really felt the impact of fame. Wasn't it? Lisa Marie was actually pretty talented. I don't know if you know that, but she could actually sing.
Of holding hands and red bouquets and twilight's trimmed in purple haze and laughing eyes and simple ways and quiet nights and gentle days with you.
Not like her daddy, but nevertheless, this is the Wretched Radio taking a trip down memory lane because I open up a Bible I haven't been in years to discover all kinds of stuff. It was the stuff that I typically use for evangelism. I was going out into the streets and the university campuses for the first time, and it's like I needed this stuff. And so I have all of these cryptic notes inside of it, and they're really good. For instance, I have a little chart here. It has the author of books from antiquity. So you've got Caesar, Homer, Tacitus, Pliny, Aristotle, their Gallic Wars, the Iliad, the Aeneid isn't on here, Annals, Natural History, Poetics. Compared to the New Testament, this is textual criticism. Can we trust the manuscripts of the New Testament? Now, we'll just do one of these because the best one that we have in all of this is Homer's Iliad. It was written in the date was written 400 BC. The earliest available copy is 100 AD. That's 500 years. Got it. 500 years between the actual writing of the document and the earliest available copy. You'd go, there could have been all kinds of shenanigans there. And I agree with you. That's the point. And that's the best manuscript that we have from antiquity. So the interval is 500 years. How many copies do we have? Again, this is the best one that we have. 643 copies. Varying dates, of course, but the earliest would be 500. So you've got a 500-year interval, 643 copies. That's the best. To give you some comparison, Caesar's Gallic Wars, 950 years. If you took Latin, you had to translate Caesar's Gallic Wars. It is trusted. We think that that's accurate history, and yet 950 years separate the day written with the earliest available copy. How many copies do we have so that we can compare them to see, are they good? Are they the same? Or are they wildly different? 10. You got 10 copies. All right. So that's not even the worst of them. You've got Aristotle. Oh, well, Aristotle, he was brilliant. We trust everything. There's a 1,400-year gap, and we've got 5 copies in order to compare them to see how accurate and consistent they are. The New Testament, date written approximately 50 to 100 AD. What do we now? This is old, by the way. This is 20 years. I'll bet we've got better dates than this, even. We've got partials about 100 years old. And there are some that are even less. Because we'd have to ask Michael J. Kruger, but I do believe that they have some fragments now that predate the second century. So in the 90s, 80s, we have manuscripts. In other words, virtually no separation. How many do we have in Greek? 6,000. With other languages that were used, like 30,000. In other words, the Bible is accurate. That doesn't mean it's supernatural. It just means it's accurate. And that ain't no small thing. But that's what textual criticism does. Textual criticism says you can trust that what is written in this book is what was written down by the original author. And that's important.
doesn't prove that it's supernatural. I think the best way to prove the Bible is supernatural is by studying the Bible. You look inside of its windows to determine what's in there. And what is in there is a claim that this book is written by God himself. And so you ask the book, prove it. Can you prove it? How do you do that? Well, there's fulfilled prophecies. There's didactic profundity. In other words, stuff that's taught where it's like, whoa, I don't think a human could come up with that. Furthermore, the gospel story itself is so counterintuitive. It is just so, you wouldn't write it that way. You just wouldn't. You wouldn't include details about the fallenness of man and how terrible you are. You would just wouldn't include those details. You wouldn't include that God became flesh and was murdered. What kind of a deity would that be? It's a counterintuitive deity that the highest would become the lowest. In other words, you look inside of the pages of the Bible and it demonstrates that its claim is accurate, that it's written by God. All right, I got another one here. This is Jesus is God. I think I'm not going to share that because I think I could use that for Sunday's sermon at Alpharetta Bible Church. You know what we're doing, Jimmy, at Alpharetta Bible Church?
What's that?
We finished up Matthew. Yeah, we did it in about 22 months.
Wow.
Just under 2 years. That's pretty quick, actually, for Matthew. John MacArthur took 7 years. So needless to say, there's a bit of a difference there. So we made time, got it done in about 22 months, but we're not leaving the book because it was the theme throughout the Gospel of Matthew is that the Gospel is a tapestry. And the image that is woven together is a glorious picture of King Jesus Christ. And we see threads woven throughout it. And one of those threads is deity. And so for 4 weeks, I think, we're going back and revisiting those threads. I came up with 20, maybe 21. We see it again and again and again. There's the divinity of Jesus, the divinity of Jesus, the divinity of Jesus. Now, the sheet of paper that I have in my memory book, it's from the Gospel of John. That tends to be the book that we go, the deity book, John. And it is, but don't overlook the other Gospels. The synoptics have tons of claims that Jesus is God. Truly, this was the Son of God, observed the centurion. And Jesus accepted worship, etc. So the claims go on. And I think there's probably 25 claims of deity in the Gospel of Matthew. So if you've ever felt wobbled by the accusation, hey, the Bible never says Jesus is God, now you can point them to even the Gospel of Matthew because actually it does. Jimmy?
Yes.
You know what this is right here?
What is that?
Well, you see, when I was using these things, we were in Minnesota, and there's basically two religions in Minnesota. You got Catholicism and Lutheranism, and you got to say it that way. Otherwise, we know that you're not from there. Lutheranism. And so I had a document. This one was, I've actually got two of them. This one is written by Mike Gendron, who I think is preaching at Community Bible Church in Beaufort, South Carolina. Maybe he's there now for all I know. At any rate, it's scripture versus tradition. There is, in a sense, I think both of them are outside of orthodoxy. Nevertheless, in a sense these days, just this sense, Roman Catholicism is behaving like Mormonism these days. How so? In that, their online presence is getting increasingly sophisticated and they're changing their lingo, I think, to sound more appealing. So with Mormons, who would have heretofore said, we're not Christians, we're Mormons. Now they call themselves Christians. By the way, they're awesome at search engine optimization. Wow. You pull up, just ask your Google machine a question about religion. You're going to get a Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints answer. So they're trying, they're on a campaign to make themselves sound like they're Christian. Roman Catholicism is doing that too. They're watering down doctrines that are codified, like the doctrine of justification. They're trying to make it sound like, no, we're grace alone. Well, according to this comparison between scripture and tradition and what the Roman Catholic Catechism even says about how one gets to heaven, their foundational documents that they, this is codified dogma, is very clear. You must contribute to what Jesus has infused you with. You've got to maintain it. You've got to do it. You've got to do certain things. You've got to participate in the sacraments. And so despite what they say online, we need to be prepared to compare what the Bible says to the Roman Catholic Catechism. That's what this bad boy does. What? It's a really great tool. I don't know where you get it, but it's a really great tool. And you can tell I've used it a wee bit because there is still a difference between Roman Catholicism and biblical Protestantism. Thanks for letting me enjoy some memories. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. The education establishment in the state of New Jersey just showed its true colors at the state school board conference. Apparently, women, they just don't make the cut. The Atlantic City Convention Center featured men's restrooms and all gender restrooms. That's right, men get their private space, while women, well, they get to share with whoever walks through their door. Speaking of ideology run amok, Canada's new Prime Minister Mark Carney just announced his government will burn through $660 million over the next 5 years on gender equality, while their national debt tops $1 trillion. That includes 10.9 million specifically for LGBTQ communities. Carney, whose daughter identifies as non-binary, is doubling down on Justin Trudeau's woke agenda, even as opposition parties threaten to topple his budget. But here's some actual good news from the heartland. The Napa Legal Institute's new Faith and Freedom Index shows Alabama and Kansas are leading the nation in protecting religious nonprofits. Alabama scored 86% on religious freedom, while Michigan scraped the bottom at 22%. And that's attributed to the Wolverine State's hostile Blaine Amendment, which bars religious organizations from state funding and their non-discrimination laws, offering zero meaningful exemptions for faith groups. Meanwhile, Washington manages to be both anti-faith and overregulated, proving that you can fail in multiple things simultaneously. Christianity is quietly transforming Mongolia, where believers have grown from just four people in 1989 to over 100,000 today. Despite Mormon missionaries flooding the country with their counterfeit gospel and free English lessons as bait, Christianity is spreading. Mongolian Christians are now sending missionaries to Russia, Thailand, and even North Korea. Imagine that, a country that discovered religious freedom just about 35 years ago is already exporting the gospel. Our national security took another hit recently when the Australian defense contractor employee Peter Williams admitted to selling cyber warfare secrets to Russia for cryptocurrency. The genius traded $35 million worth of sophisticated hacking tools meant for U.S. allies to a Russian broker, all so he could buy luxury items. He faces 20 years for betraying both America and his employer. And if you need proof that communism breeds absurdity, the public restroom system of China may soon require watching ads before dispensing toilet paper. Users must scan a QR code to either watch an ad or pay 5 cents for a few squares of toilet paper. And meanwhile, in Minnesota, Tyler Abelos thought TikTok was the perfect place to put a $45,000 bounty on Attorney General Pam Bondi. The anarchist linked repeat offender with a history of stalking and domestic assault is learning that threatening federal officials online is not protected speech. It's actually a federal crime. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content, both of which you can do at FortisInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can also subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Lexicon. Faith is not a force we harness or a feeling we get. True biblical faith consists of three things: knowledge of the truth, agreement with the truth, and a trust in the true God. There is no power in faith itself. The power is in the one we put our faith in. Are you trusting in Christ or in something that cannot deliver?
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You can thank me for my discretion later. This is Wretched. Well, sort of you can, because I'm going to practice some discretion, because I'm not going to play Cats. That's right. I'm not going to play Cats. It's the only memory song that I could find besides Elvis singing Memories. It's the Barbara Streisand thing. Could have played that for the bumper music, but I practice discretion, and you are blessed because of it. But I'm not going to practice discretion when it comes to sharing what this little pamphlet written by Mike Gendron talks about, because it is good to remember, especially when we're still in Reformation season. You say, Friel, we're not. We're past Reformation. I know. Now we're suddenly in Christmas. I mean, it's all the Christmas commercials. I saw a billboard, was in Oklahoma. I don't know if I mentioned that. Was in Oklahoma, and the billboard said, Black Friday starts now. That was October we were in. It's like, wow, Christmas is such a boondoggle. It is such a season of sales, isn't it? It has become so commercialized. And I wonder how long it can last. Don't people stop and go, mommy, daddy, Christmas, what is it? Well, it's when family gets together. And if they simply asked one follow-up question, why, the parents would have to go, well, they'd either have to tell the truth that it's a celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ, or they would have to say, well, I don't know. I guess there's no reason, really. Wouldn't some generation come along and say, then what's the point? I know why we set off fireworks on the 4th of July. Because John Adams wanted fireworks on the 4th of July for the commemoration of the signing of the Declaration of Independence, the birth of our country. That's the substance. The celebration comes out of that, with Christmas just being commercialism, if you will, buying presents. That has to come out of something. Otherwise, why keep doing it? It would be like me creating a holiday March, in March. There's no good, I don't think there's any big holidays in March. Is there?
I don't think so.
St. Patrick's Day, but I don't think that's a federal holiday. So I create a holiday and try to persuade everybody to spend billions of dollars on presents. No. Why? Exactly. How long can Christmas without Christ keep going? But I digress. Mike Gendron, writing a booklet that I discovered in my old Bible. It's like an old friend that I'm looking at. Oh, look at this. Four views of the end times. Historical premillennialism, amillennialism, dispensational premillennialism, go team, postmillennialism. It's by Rose Publishing. Super helpful. If you've ever wanted a really pithy sort of comparison between the four big end time views, Rose Publishing, they do a lot of things like that. Now, I don't know everything about Rose Publishing, but they'll do denominational comparisons. I think they're the ones who will have the Bible timeline, for instance. Speaking of Bible timelines, if you've ever wondered, hey, the history of the Roman Catholic Church, when did the Roman Catholic Church start? When did the Roman Catholic Church go off the rails? Well, we actually tried to answer that question with Nate Booznitz, a video that we posted, well, I guess for Reformation, it's about a week old now. You can go find it on the YouTube machine, where Nate kind of takes us through a history, because the claim of the Roman Catholic Church that there's an unbroken succession of popes back to Peter, it's just not a sustainable claim. You can't do it. You just can't. You can't find a pope who is the head of the church sitting in Rome. For instance, maybe somebody's come up with some sort of traditional answer, but who was Peter's successor? And who followed him and him and him and him until about the 4th century, when we start to see, well, maybe a little earlier than that, the Roman bishop. But we had other bishops, not just Roman. Now, there was a bishop in Constantinople. There was a bishop in Egypt. Alexandria had a bishop. It was a history and a series of really a vying for power until about, give or take, I think the hook that I prefer to hang this claim on would be the 5th century. Then you could start to see more of the establishment of the papal office. Furthermore, that's also when you can see the Roman Catholic Church start to adopt doctrines that aren't biblical. It didn't happen overnight. The Roman Catholic Church that we know today, or if you're more familiar with the Roman Catholic Church or the Protestant Reformation, that was not the Roman Catholic Church of the of the fourth, fifth centuries. And that started to, it progressively changed. And if it's ever troubled you that the gospel could have been lost for 1,000 years, it wasn't. There are plenty of people who still had the gospel. It was the system that continued to veer away from biblical truth. So this is from Mike Gendron's booklet. He's got a timeline here. I think you'll find this interesting. 431, proclamation that infant baptism regenerates the soul. That was 431. Okay, that would be a moving away from grace alone, faith alone, and Jesus Christ alone. 500, the Mass instituted as a reenactment of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. This is, of course, the doctrine of transubstantiation. This is one of the battlefields of the Protestant Reformation, that Jesus Christ would be summoned from heaven by a mere mortal sinful man to be re-sacrificed on the altar, as somehow the bread actually becomes body and the wine actually becomes blood. The Reformers found that quite blasphemous, and honestly, we should too. That started 500. Interestingly enough, did I mention I was in Oklahoma? I think maybe I did. I can't remember which one, but I think it was more at Oklahoma University. More questions about Mormons and Roman Catholics because of the number of Mormons and Roman Catholics on campus, even in, I don't know if you can call Oklahoma the Bible Belt. By the way, Jimmy, it was an undisciplined moment, but I couldn't help myself. I wasn't going to start my presentation by asking, what is Oklahoma? But I couldn't help it.
Okay.
I mean, I had my starting point. I knew what I wanted to say. That just went flying out the window because I got up to the platform and I said, I didn't want to say howdy, y'all, because I thought howdy might be kind of a Texas A&M reference and we're in Oklahoma and that could. So I just said, hey, y'all. And then that's when my brain said, goodbye script. Y'all, are you Southern? Do y'all here? Or are you a you guys? What are you anyway? So, Jimmy, I was actually told, at least by the students at OSU, that it's central. It's not Southwestern. It's central United States. I'd never heard that.
I don't think I have either.
And apparently New Mexico is even a part of it, which I thought was definitely Southwestern. Yeah. I mean, whatever it is, they've got a lot of Mormons and Catholics on the campus, and the kids kept asking questions about them, which, interestingly, hold on a second. Inside of my thingy, my jiggy bobby here, I've got a thing on. Oh, here it is right here. I've got some $1 million bills. This one has Brigham Young on it. The other one has Joseph Smith on it to give it to Mormons. Let's read it, shall we? Here's a $1 million question. If you were to die right now, would you qualify for the celestial kingdom? If you're like most Mormons, you're not sure. You try hard to be as good as possible, but you still don't know if you're being good enough. If the Book of Mormon is really scripture, this hope will always elude you. Alma 11:37 says, God cannot save you in your sins. All of your sins forgiven? Moroni 10:32 says you must be perfected in Christ, which can only be done by denying yourself of all ungodliness. Have you done that? In other words, it's laying guilt on the conscience to awaken them. And I've always personally thought that that's the best way to interact with both Mormons and Roman Catholics or any works-based system. How you doing? You going to make it? Do you have confidence? Do you have joy? Jesus said his yoke is easy and his burden is light. How are you feeling? How's that guilt? How's that shame? Do you have a big burden on your back? Would you like it rolled off, pilgrim? You can. Grace alone, faith alone, and Jesus Christ alone. That is, I think, probably. Now, I think we talked about this a few weeks ago here on Wretched Radio, that you can interact with Mormons and you can use, well, see this verse here compared to that verse. In this verse, we agree it's God. Now, in that verse, it's Jesus. You know, so King of Kings would be one, for instance. That's talking about God. Now it's talking about Jesus. What do you do with that? That's cool if you want to do that, but you got to get to the conscience. You got to open up the courtroom of their mind to show them you're not meeting the standard that your own religion demands. Furthermore, if I'm not mistaken, I think Celestial City, which is the highest form of heaven, there's Celestial's the bottom one. There's a middle one in there. I think the top one is Celestial. This is driving me nuts. Jimmy, I sure hope your AI. Okay. It's full. You can't even get into it. And the way to get into it is by being perfect. That should feel heavy on the conscience of the Mormon and the Roman Catholic, which is why you want to open up the law to witness to Mormons and Roman Catholics, about whom we will learn more, courtesy of my memory book, man, on Wretched Radio.
Every night at 8 o'clock, the battle begins. Who gets the remote? What are we watching? How many cooking shows is too many cooking shows? Well, I've got news that'll bring peace to your living room. Fortis Plus just landed on your TV. Yeah, your actual television. Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, even that smart TV you bought last year and you still can't program. So instead of arguing over another reality show, you're watching Road Trip to Truth together on the couch. Your teenager might actually look up from their phone and your spouse might find something you both enjoy. Miracles do happen. Every video, every biblical resource you trust right there on the big screen for free. Why free? Well, because Gospel Partners believe truth should flow into every home. No subscription, no credit card, no guilt. Download Fortis Plus on your TV right now. Finally, something the whole family can agree on. So we decided to run the gospel through a focus group, and they loved the part about love. Then came the notes. Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh, so they suggested we call it personal brokenness. Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Maybe spiritual separation? Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. You have to make him one of many meaningful paths. And the call to repent and believe, that just raises a little bit of friction. How about like and subscribe? We thank them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel, a holy God, real sin, a just wrath, a crucified and risen Savior, and a clear call to repent and believe. And we'll do it kindly, clearly, and without the sales pitch. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. You can listen to your heart's content at fortisplus.org. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Oh, you know the feeling. Every morning you wake up and you wonder, how am I going to navigate this weird, crazy, upside down world with biblical wisdom? We should have that thought every day. And that's exactly why Fortis Institute exists. We're your daily partner in standing firm in biblical truth. From our podcasts with Dr. John Kratz to Pastor Brad Bigney to Libby Glosson, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Greg Gifford, and others, we're bringing together voices you can trust. But this doesn't happen by accident. When you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just giving money, you're discipling young men struggling with pornography. You're equipping pastors in small rural churches. You're preaching the gospel to students who desperately need to hear it. And by the way, make sure that you grab the Fortis Plus app. It's free for everybody and it's packed with hundreds of hours of content right now, with more being added daily. Because we believe biblical truths should be accessible to everyone. That's why we need you to help push this to the globe. Our work is nowhere near finished. Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Apostle of our confession. An apostle is one who is sent. Jesus is the one sent from the Father and empowered by the Holy Spirit to deliver the gospel in which all Christians confess their belief.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Yeah, got it without Jimmy. This is Wretched Radio. I remembered it, Jimmy. Now you haven't attest to this. You have not told me, courtesy of AI, the three levels of Mormon heaven, correct?
Correct.
All right, so on top you got celestial. And then terrestrial is on the bottom. Did I get it right?
Yeah. Yes, I think you did. Yeah.
Well, what did the AI machine say?
Well, I don't think it put it in order. It just, it says...
So celestial is the top one.
Right. Terrestrial.
Is the bottom one, because that's Terra, like Earth.
Okay. And then telestial was next.
It's kind of like in the middle. It's kind of a limbo sort of heaven, if you will. But I'm conflating my Mormonism and Catholicism.
Now, AI put two others.
Oh, wow.
They put outer darkness for the sons of perdition.
All right.
And the spirit world.
Okay. Yeah. So, but for those, I believe, who are trying, you will earn your way to one of those levels. I'm pretty sure this, ask it if the celestial level is fully booked and there's no rooms available. Okay. Because I'm pretty sure that's the case. But we digress from Roman Catholicism, which, courtesy of Mike Gendron, is giving us a timeline of the Roman Catholic Church. When did these doctrines that are not Protestant get added? Glad you asked. If you recall, 431, baptism regenerates you. 500, the Mass would be transubstantiation, the reenactment of the sacrifice of Jesus. 1,000, attendance at Mass made mandatory under the penalty of mortal sin. You know, that'll produce a joyful heart, won't it? You go to church, or you're going to hell. That is not the way that Jesus wants us to feel. Jesus wants us to be a joyful people, a people who serve him from the heart, who desire to go and hear from his word and to worship him in response. The rosary, repetitious praying with beads, invented by Peter the Hermit. And that was, I think, about late tens. So like 1080, 90 in that neighborhood. 1079, celibacy of priesthood, decreed by Pope Gregory the V11. The monastic movement, it doesn't seem like it should be that big of a deal of a difference between Protestantism and Catholicism, but it is. Yesterday, I think we were reading Oz Guinness, Our Cultural Moment, and he rightly identified what any historian who has any sort of objectivity would affirm. And that is, it was the Protestant Reformation that just blew things up in a good way. What was it about the Protestant Reformation that caused such a just light year leaps in civilization? And one of those elements was the work ethic. One of those elements was being married, making babies, being a husband and wife. Because the Roman Catholic Church, it appears it started in about 1090, give or take, when the Pope said celibacy, that's the ideal way to live. These are the super spiritual people. These are the ones who are set apart. And if you're in Christ, you're set apart. You're called as a saint. You don't get made one because you supposedly did some miracles. No, you're made a saint. You're made a sanctified one because of the work of Jesus Christ. The Roman Catholic Church, they would say that the most sanctified way to live is away from the world. They don't understand what the world is. The world is not something from which we get parachuted out of. God doesn't beam us up out of the world and have us go live in a really dank, dark building in the middle of nowhere or embedded into a mountain someplace where we sleep on a concrete floor. That is not the way our joyful God wants us to live. He wants us to be in the world, but just not of the world. He wants us to be living in the world, but not worldly. And the Roman Catholic Church, they say, no, the most godly way you can live is through the monastic movement. Martin Luther came along, shattered that. Marriage shattered that. And, you know, here's another thing. It's 1 Corinthians, I believe it's 9:6. 6:9 or 9:6. I think it's 9:6. It would be 9:6. Where Paul talks about Cephas being married. Wait, what? How's about when Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law? In order to have a mother-in-law, you need to have a wife. And it appears, we don't know definitively, but it is very possible that his wife even traveled with him, at least to some degree, on different mission trips. Now, how could the Pope be married? Well, first of all, he's not the Pope. Second of all, God created marriage, and marriage is a good thing. It's a good institution. And it is that emphasis on family and being godly in the world that really propelled Western civilization. Celibacy of Priesthood, 1079. Granting of indulgences. That would just call it 1100, give or take. The granting of indulgences to reduce time in purgatory. 1215. Transubstantiation proclaimed by Pope the Innocent. Must have been some advancements on that, because if you recall originally, the Mass instituted as a it was the Mass. Transubstantiation, the regeneration of the body and the bread and the wine into body and blood. That's 1215. And confession of sins to priests, instituted by Pope Innocent III. What about purgatory? It was codified. It had been taught. These doctrines don't come out of the blue. It was codified in 1438. Elevated from doctrine to dogma by the Council of Florence, 1545. Tradition claimed equal in authority with the Bible by the Council of Trent. That was a part of the Counter-Reformation. They had to do that because there was no way they could use the Bible to support the doctrines that the Protestants were criticizing. And so they came up with the theory that tradition through the church and the magisterium is just as valid as scripture itself. That was in response to Sola Scriptura, the Protestant Reformation. 1854, Immaculate Conception of Mary, infallibility of the Pope at the Vatican Council. That would be closer to 1870. Virgin Mary proclaimed co-redeemer with Jesus. Hello. Now, claimed. I don't think that that's codified yet, but the Pope said it. Was he speaking ex cathedra from the chair? I suspect so. That's early 20th century. The Assumption of the Virgin Mary into Heaven proclaimed by Pope Pius the X11. In other words, it was progressive. I don't know that that's the right word. It didn't happen. It just wasn't like, oh, on that date, they went from being Orthodox to outside of Orthodoxy. No, it was a slide. And it was just ongoing. And even as that happened, there were still believers inside of the church. And isn't this interesting? If you affirm that if a religion is outside of Orthodoxy, in other words, the deity of Jesus Christ, Trinitarian theology, justification, sola scriptura, if you agree that you have to be a church that affirms those things, otherwise you are anathema, we would have to say the Roman Catholic Church does not affirm those things. And yet, look at all of the good. Now, there was a lot of really bad stuff the Roman Catholic Church did. That's why we basically have America. The Puritans, they were running away. The pilgrims, they came, but then it was the Puritans who were seeking basically asylum in a foreign land because they were getting shellacked by the Roman Catholic Church. Nevertheless, even an aberrant version of Christianity is still salty and lighty because there were still believers inside of it. They were still some godly people who loved Jesus Christ, and it still infected Western civilization and advanced it. That's the power of Christianity. Imagine if it were the right version of Christianity, how much that would impact our society, which is why we keep banging the drum here at Wretched Radio. If we want to see a different culture, we need to have a predominant cult of Christianity. It's bottom up, not top down. Jimmy, you got the Mormon stuff?
Oh, yeah. So
you thought I was going to forget, didn't you?
I did. So the celestial...
My memory seems to have improved with the Prilosec, with my GERD, silent GERD.
Okay, that's good.
I feel like I got a stalker now. You have silent GERD. Speaking of stalkers, I get to see Josh Williamson tomorrow night. Josh Williamson, he's the open-air preacher who starts off with the stalker story. If you were wondering if there was any segue there whatsoever.
I stole that from him.
I've used it before. In fact, I even put it in my new book. I asked him for permission. Oh. Can I steal this from you? It's an awesome... Everybody has a stalker. Death. Get to see him tomorrow night. All right, what's the Mormon update?
So the Celestial Kingdom isn't full. There are levels to it. There are three different levels to it.
I see.
Yeah.
So there's still a shot.
There's still a shot, yeah.
Is the highest level filled?
No, none of them are filled. You're just trying to get to that highest level.
See, now I had heard, try as you might, those doors are locked. That hotel has a no vacancy sign in front of it. But maybe they've changed that too, because after all, the Mormon Church has changed its opinion about a few things, like, say, skin color. Thanks for going down memory lane, man. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.